I am an athlete. I may be brand new, but I'm having fun. I'm learning how to compete for the very first time, and I've never felt so good. Label it whatever you want. I call it a revolution, a rebellion against everything I used to believe, every failed resolution, every imagined limitation.
I'm a teacher. I lead, innovate, and experiment. I mix methods and take fresh paths.
I break rules.
And while some stand still,
I'll be out there looking for something brand new.
This is a sport as dramatic, formidable, and inspirational as any other. We honor our heroes, and we are damn proud to serve as role models. All of the training and the sacrifice is worth it. Every tough day, every low moment, every risky venture, and every rebooted dream. Yeah, this community is worth it.
We're changing what it means to be strong, to persist, to fight on.
We must, because we are needed.
Our children need to know what strong looks like.
The world needs to see for itself
that fitness is
never taboo, and that great beauty comes in all forms.
I'm having the time of my life, but I can tell you that the journey is never easy or short. Things don't always turn out as planned, but then again, that's not why I'm here. I'm not looking for gifts or safe passage. I don't want the well-worn path or the short way around. I just want to work, grow,
and see my dreams become reality. I'm prepared. Yes, I am an athlete.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Chuck.
I never tell what's on either.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged, episode 100. Welcome, guys. I'm here with Doug Larson, Christopher Moore, and CTP behind the camera. I am, of course, Mike Bledsoe.
High on helium.
High on helium. I'm waiting for this voice. Oh, here we go.
There it goes.
It's going back to normal. Back. Anyone else want a balloon?
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
let Doug do it.
Celebrate here with,
doing it for the 100th time. This feels like the best time, doesn't it?
We're having a big celebration here. If you haven't noticed, we're very excited about being episode 100.
I tried to leave enough for you, but you might not have enough.
There we go.
Will this ever not be funny?
No.
Not that quite
didn't work. Didn't work.
Didn't get as much.
There's plenty of balloons up there.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, so this is our 100th episode. We have not missed an episode in 100 weeks.
People might say, man,
How many years is that?
Bullshit.
That's almost 2 years.
Very good.
A month short of 2 years. We have made every single episode, and it has been an awesome, awesome ride. If you want to go look at episode one, I would recommend that you don't. it's not very good. And we just kept plugging away and going
That's
week after
point.
Week. And
That's
it ended
the point.
Up, we ended up doing some really cool stuff that we never even thought. You know, if you would ask me a couple years ago, hey, what would you be doing 2 years from now? I'd go, there's no telling.
There really wasn't a clear plan. It was just that we're going to do this no matter what. For just as long as we possibly can. We're not going to stop. That was the whole secret, right? You can get something cool done if you just plug and plug and plug away.
Yeah, if we went by the first few episodes that we did, or the especially the ones that we didn't air, like the ones like with you guys in the coffee shop, and then we did a couple like in your garage that we never actually even put on the air. We just like little practice runs that were horrible, and we had drank way too much scotch when we started. And they will probably never be aired, but
there was at least 12.
Episodes -2 and -1. They were pretty bad.
There's at least 12 episodes, or at least 12 recordings of like podcasts. May not have been called Barbell Shrugged at the time. There's at least 12 episodes.
We'll get into
I think there's
details.
Like five of Chris Moore and I at a coffee shop just recording our thoughts on training. Maybe one day those will be released
with heavy disclaimers.
The black
please don't
label.
Judge this for content quality.
That's right.
And before that, I might point out that we spent so many countless hours just talking shit with each other for years before that. I mean, it goes back. It technically does go back. It took a long time to prep for that moment. So how many years before, you know, 4 or 5 years, we were just talking shit all day about training to get us ready for this big moment.
That's right. Well, I want to thank everyone who's come on our show. Wait.
Yeah.
Everyone who's been a guest on our show
And
I didn't think it sounded bad until you looked at me like that.
I was like,
See where your brain's at.
Episode two, we had Rich Froning. And Rich Froning's been on our show, four times? Five?
Four or five, yeah. Four.
I mean, that's a lot of times. I mean, he's the best CrossFitter in the world.
The champ,
for the men. And for him to come on episode two, and we were in Columbus, Ohio, just all hanging out in the same place at the same time. Regionals. We saw him at a party. He was like, hey, man, you want to go back to the apartment? And I was like,
it felt weird at the time.
Rich,
but
I am not hitting on you, but
you want to go back to my
place? I would like for you to come back to my place.
Listen, you're
and
really
I've
fit.
Got this. I've got this camera.
We have
we got a guy with a camera. Don't get nervous.
Exciting media opportunity for you.
That's right.
Can you bring your buddies too?
That's right.
Yeah, you're all so fit and shiny. Come on.
Yeah, so that was actually a really big boost for us. Like, you know, helped us gain some momentum and some inertia there. And because in the beginning we were like, oh, we don't know what to do. We know we want to record this thing. And then a guy like Rich Froning is like, oh, I'll go on your show. And that really pumped up our spirits, motivated us.
It really did help us start on the right foot. And he's really supported us more than almost anybody over the years. Like, and there's really no incentive for him to support us. He just thinks it's fun being on the show.
That's why we love him. That's why he's a good champ. You see a guy who's very humble and kind and hardworking and very real. And that's exactly what it is.
And actually made it easier to get more guests because it's like, well, Rich Froning went on the show. I was like, well, I guess I'll do it too.
Yeah, it always helps, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, really, over the years, he's never really asked for anything in return. He just thinks it's fun being on the show. We're very fortunate that he lives right here in Tennessee, where we live, so he's not too far away. Yeah.
So thank you, Rich Froning. And thanks to all the other guests we've had. I mean, we've had a lot of spectacular guests. In the beginning, we definitely had a lot of people from our hometown, some experts that live here in Memphis, some professors at University of Memphis.
Again,
and
we're fortunate to have
friends that work in the supplement industry, just things like that. That was really beneficial in the beginning. And as time's gone on, we definitely snagged some big fish in regard to having guests on the show. And it's just been awesome. We've got to meet so many cool people. It's really helped us become better coaches.
That's the best part of it.
And podcasters, and being able to talk about this, because over the last 2 years, especially the last year, we've really been able to sit down with the people who are the best coaches, the best researchers, the best athletes, and find out what they're doing, what they think. And that's been, I feel like I've gained so much knowledge from that, and it's changed the way I think about training. It's changed about the way I think about the world, and it's been
amazing.
Great.
Amazing thing about this whole movement, which I guess we'll get into the full spectrum of the movement in this thing, this CrossFit thing, but like, we do find ourselves like around amazing people, which is so, of anything I've ever accomplished, just being able to meet all these great people, these great human beings. But the competition too, the people who come up to you and say, yeah, I listen to your show. This huge community of awesome people, and to be on the very leading edge, like the very edges of what we know you can do and pull off at high level, a new high level thing like CrossFit. It's right where the edge is. They're combining all these methods, and all the best coaches are thinking about new questions. It is an exciting little place to be.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And to think, I mean, it was all kicked off by Greg Glassman way back in the day. Out in California, and it blew up into a worldwide sensation.
You got to give those guys credit for, you know, dropping the spark in the big tinderbox.
I think you would say, you know, you just started posting workouts on a blog, and people started following. I mean, without the internet, obviously, CrossFit would not have grown like it has. So that's been very influential. But the way that Greg Glassman and the CrossFit headquarters has pushed this forward as a sport. And just doing the seminars, and you know, I hear stories from people who were like there at the beginning. Oh yeah, well, we talked to Brian McKenzie, and he was like, oh yeah, I was invited out to this seminar. He was like, hey, why don't you come to a level one seminar and talk about running for an hour, part of the level one seminar? And he did. He was like, oh, okay. Kind of hearing little stories about that, about how it kind of started in the beginning. It was very grassroots. It was kind of like everyone was kind of, they were doing something better than what everyone else was doing, and that's why people were showing up, but they were still like figuring it out.
It was still low budget, maybe no budget at first. It starts off just like this thing on a bigger scale, of course. Like CrossFit has gotten really huge, but it starts off with one guy, a couple people going, you know what? I like all these disparate ideas, but how do you get them together in some way that works? Like, how can I do gymnastics, but also I'm interested in clean and jerks, and I want to run better, and all this, and box jumps are cool. Like, how do you put them together in some thing that gives you a direction? And then a rap competition. It was a bunch of things that were in existence, of course, but they're all separated. And before this thing starts, you have these clans, like these tribes, powerlifting, strongman, weightlifting. Like, they're all classes, a good example. There's so many things there. gymnastics and martial arts and self-defense and bodybuilding and weightlifting. No one will talk to each other. Like, you go, but you're at your one thing, right? Like, before, I came from a reality where weightlifting and powerlifters, like, we just would talk shit to each other. Like, there's no conversation about what's good with both and how we can mix it into something brand new.
I remember the fact that we as weightlifters trained with you at a gym where you were the sole powerlifter.
And I always
loved. We would tell people like, oh yeah, we have a powerlifter in our gym. They're like,
black
label. Like a West Side style powerlifter trains with a bunch of weightlifters. This is an anomaly.
And I loved weightlifting. I could never really do it. I wasn't really suited to it, just some injuries. And I was in powerlifting and trying to be good at that. So I was like, well, I can't try to also do snatches. How could that? That would just mess up my powerlifting. I wasn't even thinking that I could mix them to be something better. Or yeah. I could also row and it wouldn't affect my strength. And I could also do some basic gymnastics things like what I do now, handstands. Because of CrossFit, a 300-pound ex-meathead sees the importance of shoulder position and handstands and moving his own body weight.
Yeah,
I knew of it before. I was like fuck you, I'm benching. You know, that's what changed. Like, yeah. That was my impact.
So Greg Glassman came along and he kind of mixed the gymnastics, the weightlifting, the track and field type training, mixes it all together, makes it a fitness program. People start kind of competing
in a way
on the
that
blog.
Worked. In a way that worked.
They post
clearly differently. Like, that was, people have dabbled in it, sure, but it worked in a way that set off the fire.
Yeah, and I think a big part of it was blog, and people were competing via comments. They say, post your time.
Mm-hmm. Very,
you
know, novel.
How many rounds did you get in that AMRAP?
I mean, super novel.
The thing. Fact that they even made it for time, where it was actually right. Measurable, and you could compete in something that wasn't just competing in a mile run or a 1 RM bench press
or reps.
And now,
you know, how many reps could you do in one set? You know,
and so now you have like an infinite number of different workouts that you can compete in, and there's more than one way to measure your fitness.
Right.
Whereas before, everyone was just doing how much do you bench.
Right. The closest thing to like measuring fitness might have been a decathlon or something like that.
Yeah, that was the standard for the best athlete in the world was right. Something like a decathlon. Right. And that was really not that.
Or the dreaded triathlon Ironman.
It was really not that diverse, really. You know right. What I mean? It really still was like a one single modality thing. It was like track and field, you know, basically all running and jumping. And a few throwing, but there was no heavy lifting. There certainly wasn't anything like a one rep max back squat or anything that we would consider
even
to be
decathlon, like
more
shit, like,
raw strength.
The best example still didn't have heavy lifting, didn't have snatch. Or
yeah, that's true.
These things that are objectively, mechanically, by the laws of physics, a distinct, very difficult thing was never tested.
Yeah.
Force and speed of force development was never tested in those high loads ever.
So we had this little bit of competition happening online. And then Dave Castro, I don't think, you know, we'll maybe get the opportunity to interview Dave one day. But
I
would love to get Dave Castro on the show. But, you know, I don't know the exact specifics of the story, but I mean, it sounds like, you know, his family had this ranch out in Aromas, California, and was like, oh, let's all get together and compete at the same time, not on the internet.
Let's bring people out here. And kill them. We'll sacrifice them on this hill.
Well, you look at the first CrossFit games. I mean, it was very, very simple, single day, not a lot of volume. And it kind of grew after that. They did the next year, you know, 2008, they did it in Aromas, California again. In 2009, I think the city wouldn't let them do it. I think it was just, they were like, oh, this is becoming a
insurance,
hassle.
Insurance things too bad, man.
So they're like, oh, I guess we'll go, you know, to Los Angeles and do it there. And it kind of grew from there. But, you know, it's a... CrossFit was growing really well on it, you know, due to the internet and doing the seminars, but I really think the games made it explode.
And look, again, objectively, whether you like HQ and Dave and what they're doing with the games or not, look at it objectively and look at the explosive growth and look how it is getting, they're improving it every year. It's 2 years ago, maybe three, I was like, I don't know if some of these things make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. To be fair, you know, like, this doesn't pair well logically, but in like last 2 years, I'm like, I don't think I could have like, if I'm trying to put Dave's hat on and arrange things, I couldn't have thought of anything more interesting than this. Like, I really love, my favorite thing, the highlight so far has been the introduction of, and I've heard Piers Dimas might be interested in this kind of arrangement, where you have weightlifting done in a novel way where you have a rapid fire of attempts, like in this ladder style. Mm-hmm. Love it. It's like the best of weightlifting without everything that sucks about weightlifting powder, which is the slow pace and the grind. Like, good lift. And then you wait This guy dilly dallies with his chalk and shit back there. Okay, when's this asshole gonna come and break this fucking wire? It takes 2 seconds. No, have 10 platforms and boom, 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 boom. It's exciting.
Yeah, watching weightlifting is like watching golf.
And the guys can watch each other.
And then you golf clap.
You can be on a platform next to your competitor. Oh shit, he missed. That changes what I'm gonna do right now. Or I think that's gonna be a new mod. Guys like Piros and Klokov rising up. Like weightlifting is mixing with this thing too and becoming brand new. And very interesting, like a new version of it. That's incredible.
It is interesting how the game's made watching exercise fun to do. That's never happened before.
Oh, yeah. People coming over to the house, live stream, people making a whole weekend of it.
It's competitive.
I've flown to LA just to watch it and drink.
It's got great. Yeah. Sexy ladies and handsome, ripped guys.
That definitely helps.
My favorite part. Oh. But yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful, exciting, intense spectacle. Yeah. It's perfect.
It's fun to watch for people because. What 99% of the people watching actually participate in the sport, which doesn't happen with sport. If you go to a basketball game, 99% of those people are not doing basketball or playing basketball or shooting hoops or whatever you want to say on a weekly, if not daily basis.
Yeah, biggest sports out there like NASCAR, football, no one's going out and playing. If you're wondering why, they're fatting on the couch.
I know to this day, there's going to be a lot of people who want that kind of attention. And yeah, it's okay to feel like, fuck, man, we need to get that going on. But people are showing up and watching in big numbers because you're missing the point. If you're a great weightlifter and you snatch 400 pounds, which is like mind blowing, no one can identify with that before, but now it's like, we're all doing it. Like I've deadlifted. I've tried that muscle up. I know how hard it is. So you show up and go, wow, look at that guy do those muscle ups. What can I learn from him? Like you don't get that in NBA. Yeah. Fuck, who knows what it's like to dunk a basketball? You can either do that or you can't. And there's only a few people who can.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. Everyone has perspective on how hard it is, all the things that they're actually doing. If you're watching the Olympics and you're watching the rings and they're doing, you know, Iron Cross is like a low level gymnastics skill if you're at the Olympics, but still it's like way beyond what most people could ever do. And so if they're out there doing like triple backflips and stuff, it looks cool, but you really don't have perspective on what that means or what it takes to get to that level. But when you're watching the CrossFit games, you've at least tried all those things. Maybe you can do some of them, but you can't make it look so effortless like they can on TV. They'll do 20 of them and then just hop off and go run. And like, they don't even look tired. Yeah. So since you have perspective, it draws you to that sport and you want to keep watching it because you understand what it takes to try to do the things they're doing.
And for years, everybody, like, you go weightlifting meet, and I can see guys wearing shirts. Like, Casey one time had this shirt on a meet. I saw him, like, I don't...
Burger?
Yeah, I'll add exclamation, like, I don't fucking bench. I snatch. Like, people ask you all the time, you're a big, strong guy. What do you bench? Because that's all they knew. That was their perspective. I bench a lot. What do you bench?
Yeah.
But now it's like, I bench sometimes. I squat. What do you squat? I snatch. What do you snatch? I do muscle-ups. How many muscle-ups can you do unbroken? This is your fucking aunt asking you these questions. This is not like some gymnast down at the local YMCA who's desperately trying to find a place to train. This is everybody on all walks of life in every major city now going worldwide going, oh, man, look at, like, a soccer mom goes, you see that guy snatch 300? That's beautiful. Never fucking happened before 2005, ever.
Yeah,
I can say that as confidently as hell.
Not even from an appreciation level, but you now have, you have soccer moms learning how to snatch. I mean, that's why beautiful. They know. They walk into a gym, and people now, I feel like I walked into the gym at Faction the other day, and I was looking around. I was like, I bet half these people would be doing nothing if it weren't for CrossFit. Mm-hmm. You know, because they don't have, you either, before CrossFit, it was like you either have a gym membership where you wander around, the Gold's Gym aimlessly. If you don't know what you're doing, it's probably pretty close to aimlessly.
You pick, and then you pick a strange rep combo you've heard, 3 to 10, I guess.
Something out of a
machines.
Magazine. Yeah, but no, the motivation's low. Or you could spend, $100 an hour with this personal trainer, and now it's kind of like, and then that personal trainer, what they learned was probably out of a magazine, and now they're just passing it down to you. I mean, that could be the case. Not always, but,
not always, but that's
there's
still
nothing,
common.
There's nothing in the middle, but then...
Even if it was good, it was $1,000 a month.
Yeah, it was just so expensive, but now people can spend a couple $100 a month, have access to really high-level coaches who are trying to better themselves, and then... and
this always
it
been
gives
the most
coaches, first. Like, a way to... Like, a path to learn as well, because before, like, I remember when I was studying... fitness before CrossFit came along, and it was like all I had was like an NSCA book, like a textbook, and then there was all these random routes you could go. You learn more about weightlifting or this. It was very, very random about your education. You had to be very select very carefully. And then CrossFit kind of came along and goes, oh, here is, you can do this, this, and this, and now you're going to be a better coach than anyone in your town.
Yeah,
easy.
Like, I love a lot of the training stuff, and you do get a lot of, you're getting a lot of physiology, beautiful. You're getting a lot of mechanics, basic technique stuff, basic periodization, advanced periodization, all that's great. But how much of your time is spent like, okay, what part of the gym should the power be worrying on? And like, how much of that, how much mobility, pragmatic mobility advice and shit was in those materials? How much business experience could you get out of that? How much could you get self-defense from any of that? There's so much left untouched with the traditional model.
Yeah.
So much that never even gets touched upon.
And CrossFit was actually introduced to me by one of my buddies that's in the Navy. He's a Navy SEAL. And that was one of the things that popularized CrossFit. It was like, oh, the Navy SEALs are doing. And anything Navy SEALs do ends up being popular. Even though CrossFit's not the only thing they do, and they do other stuff, and they pretty much do a bunch of different things. But there was a period of time where a lot of those guys, that's what they were doing. And so one of my buddies, who happens to be a Navy SEAL, came to town, introduced me to it. He goes, oh, can I learn the Olympic lifts better? Because I want to get better at this CrossFit thing. I was like, well, I thought all you guys did was run, swim, and like lift traditional bodybuilding.
1,000 box jumps.
Well, yeah. And you know, before that, if you're doing like Navy SEAL style training, it's calisthenics, running, swimming. They go in the weight room, do some curls, bench, squat, maybe. But it was like, now they're doing weightlifting, kettlebells. You know, they're doing much more athletic movements. And now you're bringing coaches in that have this really deep exercise science background that I don't think they would have been there without CrossFit, because everything is so traditional in the military. And bringing CrossFit in there was able to like break ground. And now you've got guys coming in, they're hiring like legitimate strength coaches to come in, which wasn't happening before. And I think it makes everyone in our military safer, stronger,
that's
faster,
a good point,
all that
Mike.
Kind of stuff.
There's I think some people automatically will have that scarcity thing pop in and go, if I can't have my thing and you're having your thing, that means you're taking potential and opportunity away from me. Like my traditional strength conditioning thing, you're fucking with it. And that's actually not true. Like people who are prepared to sort of step up and show what they know to this community are given a huge new opportunity for spreading exercise science knowledge. Like the opportunity is ripe to have the old guard refreshed and take everything you know and just explode it and make it applicable, and like take all that research and let's start mixing it into this big experiment. Like let's see what it was, what, like, so let's break new ground on new sports science experiments. Let's see what is so, like, before, based on my old school sports science knowledge, I would have told you things like, there's no way Mike McGolder is going to run a half marathon and then fucking pick up that 400-pound stone. And the day I saw him do that, I was like, you're not going to do that. I know gravity is real, that you can't fucking do that, Mike. And I watched him do it explosive. I go, well, fuck.
Paradigm shift.
I don't know what I think I know. You can probably train both those things at the same time and be really good at both.
Yeah.
And that's like, you just always assume.
That's exactly
what
happened.
You couldn't do that. Yeah. You assumed you couldn't do that before.
Yeah, but I think also like there was some endurance coaches out there like promoting strength training within, you know, do some strength training. You talk to endurance athletes still that aren't doing CrossFit stuff, and they, you know, they do, their strength training is like 3 sets of 10 on this or that for a few different movements and then go run forever.
It's not strength training.
But it's also now it's brought a lot of strength coaches into the endurance community. You know, had it not been for CrossFit, I probably would have never thought about, you know, not pursued training any endurance guys. And now I've had the experience of training some endurance guys, and I now understand the relationship between strength and endurance much better because of it. But that's something I might not have ever pursued.
With your bias removed.
Yeah, it like helped remove my bias.
When your rose-colored lens is taken off, you can see it for what it is.
Yeah.
It really has revolutionized a lot of communities that are outside of just CrossFit. Like you mentioned the Navy SEALs and the kind of the Spec Ops community, but it's also revolutionized the whole rest of the military. Like
right.
Not just the SEALs, but like just standard infantry and anyone that's in the military, or even police and firefighters, people that might encounter, or shit, they have no idea what they're going to encounter on a day-to-day basis, and they kind of got to be prepared for everything. The whole CrossFit, it's unknown and unknowable. The people that really have day-to-day lives like that, where they don't know what they're going to encounter, it's revolutionized the way that they train on a daily basis. And not just when they are kind of like in their group training setting where like there's an instructor telling them what to do, but when they're on their own, their training is much different now, because they're going to go do CrossFit on their own, whereas before they might have gone for a jog, done some bench press, and called it good. Now, when they're all by themselves, that's not what they do anymore. Now they go do a comprehensive real training program, and they don't have any kind of gaps in their fitness.
Yeah, the average person doesn't need to get as strong as possible and only focus on that. They don't need to be focusing on just being able to run a marathon. The average person needs to like 99% of the population for their health need to be kind of covering the entire spectrum.
That's the of all the things that set me off about criticisms of CrossFit. You can name plenty of legit things, and people will listen to that because this is if you pay attention to what was critiqued 2 or 3 years ago, those issues. There's new critiques now, so it is moving in a good direction. And anything growing rapidly under huge pressure with lots of resource accumulating behind it is going to go through growing pains. We're not saying any of that.
Nothing's perfect in every situation.
Yeah, but the idea that if you're like one of the main critiques that's valid is that this is not the way you should train if you're looking to deadlift the most amount of weight, which I go, oh yeah. But to your point, Mike, for people who are wanting to be good at CrossFit, they don't want to be a strongman, and they shouldn't be. Your grandma shouldn't be training to be a strongman. Yeah,
no.
She probably doesn't want to be.
Your mom doesn't need to be a competitive powerlifter. Like they, so training like that, if you're competing in those sports, is obviously the best thing you could do. But if you want to be fit and healthy, the best thing you can do is get exposed to all these, you know, disparate ideas that, when tied together in a meaningful, progressive way, give you a better quality of life. That's the whole fucking point.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that came from having a big fitness background already, whether it was from bodybuilding or powerlifting or weightlifting or whatever, and they already have, you know, decades of experience, and then they see CrossFit and they go, they say something like you just suggested, like, oh, there's no way that'll ever make you strong. And that,
to you,
if a beginner hears that, they think, wait, what do you mean it won't make you strong? Like, because the person with all the experience is thinking that's never going to make you deadlift 800 pounds.
Yeah.
And the person that's a beginner doesn't give a shit about deadlifting 800 pounds. They just want to deadlift not 250, maybe 300, 350 or 400. And CrossFit can easily get you to over a 500 pound deadlift, but it probably won't get you to 800. But most people don't give a shit. A 500 pound deadlift is plenty for most people.
And I will say, in my experience, the most personal, I'm getting maybe this a little early, but the most personal way I've been touched, like most personal aha, like, oh fuck, was when I learned in a very real, personal, meaningful way is that I pushed so hard in certain specific directions and I got good results. These strength measures that were very specific. But for me to go back and relearn things in with the lens of a CrossFit mentality, learning from good weightlifting coaches and people like Kelly and people who are teaching, yeah, but you got to think about position and everything. I can go back and reteach myself to squat differently. Like by the last decade of hard training, low bar, good morning style, heavy squatter, how much can I move? Now, if you measure me in quote strength, but you're measuring it in a more athletic position, a position suitable for keeping your chest high in a deadlift and finishing with an explosive pull, or for a high bar squat that's more applicable to more athletic things. And that way, I'm way stronger. I couldn't even get in those positions before. So what is my strength worth? Nothing. It was only valuable on the powerlifting platform for me.
Right.
I couldn't bend over and touch my fucking toes. I couldn't do a front squat with fucking 200 pounds because I was so used to being bent over. I just couldn't even begin to hold it. I just mechanically couldn't even try.
Yeah, once you stop competing, what's the point? And being strong in those three things,
you're really trying those three things,
but you couldn't do anything that the average person
couldn't do. A standing press with 185 pounds. Not going to do that for 20 times.
Yeah.
Who's stronger? Who's stronger, man? That's the question. Like, before you doubt the efficacy of something, you should probably give it a solid fucking go. Until you feel how good it is to be able to do a handstand and how that benefits your shoulders at the years of bench pressing, you won't get the benefit it could have for you. You don't get the life benefit you could receive just by trying a few different things. So that's where I am right now.
And other than the criticisms that I saw often, especially over the last like 4 or 5 years, CrossFit's gotten much better about this kind of on the global scale, but the barrier to entry is very low. You take a 2-day certification, now you're a CrossFit coach, and so anyone can do it. So that is,
by the way, there's about 1 million 2-day personal training certifications.
Or just online. You just fill out like a check the box thing and then submit your money and now you're certified as a personal trainer.
People that criticize CrossFit seminar process.
You guys are the first thing.
Like, it's not any different than the other ones. It's not like there's a better one out there.
Right. So if you're CrossFit certified, it could mean you're amazing or it could mean you don't know anything depending on how well you paid attention on that particular weekend. The cert itself is fantastic. The information they give you is great, but You could go into it with very little background, pay attention, and probably pass if you're a relatively smart person. Or you could go into it with 10 years of experience and maybe already know it all, get your cert, and now you look the same on paper. And so a big criticism that I saw a lot over the last couple of years was people coming in and they would see someone on YouTube, either that is CrossFit certified with bad form, just because they're still relatively new. They did their 2-day cert. But they still don't have that much experience overall. And then from that one person who is trying to get better and is motivated and is trying to be the best CrossFitter they can be, but they're just brand new, people that were already in the fitness world that have experience are already good. They judge all CrossFitters by this one person they saw on YouTube, and
it's confirmational
they
bias.
Generalize off one person. Yeah, and they exactly confirmation bias. They want to think it's bad, and so they point to that one thing, and it's not the big picture.
I even see that within the CrossFit community. You have coaches that have been around for 5, 6, 7 years now, which is very common. They've been coaching for that long, and then they're like, "Oh, these new coaches, they don't know what they're doing." I'm like, "Did you know what you were doing 6 years ago?" Because I know that if I looked at myself coaching 6 years ago,
you're describing,
I'd be ashamed of myself.
What people are seeing is human traits that pop up in any field. Like, how many bad professors you had that got PhDs? How many good ones do you have that had PhDs? How many shitty physicians you've been to? Have you been to a few good ones? They went to the same schools. Ever had a shitty insurance salesman or a good one? Like, that's, people are either shitty, they don't care, or they're excellent and they're beautiful and they're amazing and they study hard. You take the tool and you make something out of it. The CrossFit seminars are a tool. They're, yeah, it's a little expensive to go, but you, look, you may have Rich Froning, you know, how many other big names have you had just in your personal?
Chuck Carswell.
Chuck Carswell.
Yeah.
So you man, have, that guy.
Chuck's a man.
Look, you have six people who have
awesome
10 years.
Coach.
You have six people who have been around basically since the start of CrossFit who all come down just to coach you. So six people who are pros at what you came to study are going to spend a whole weekend helping you. And they're going to have lunch. If you want to go with them and have lunch, they'll have lunch. You want to stay after hours and drink and talk train, they'll do that. It is worth the money if you see why it's worth the money.
I'll
if
tell you
don't,
this.
You don't.
All three of us standing here have got multiple certifications and different personal training things. You know, they range between $300 and $500 most of the time.
Like the NSA was how much for our little CSCS is way back in the day.
Oh, by the way, I didn't even.
Yeah, I mean, it's $400.
I didn't even do it in person. I studied in a book. I watched a video. I had to go take a test in person, and that was it. There was no like in-person training happening.
You didn't show up and have to move.
You watched the video and check boxes in a test.
No one watched you do a Fran or a snatch or a deadlift. Like, let's show me you know what you're talking about.
So there was 400. That was like $400. And I've been to, I won't name off all the certifications because I don't want to make them sound bad. And they're not bad.
They're not
it's
bad.
All about how you come into them and how you apply the information.
You see all the good or bad you want to see.
But I will tell you this is when I did the CrossFit seminar, I went in with some background and I was like, that was the best. And I've been to some certifications and seminars since then and from different organizations that were not CrossFit. And they just weren't as good. Like what I got out of 2 days of training was better than anything else that I've been
through. People forget the obvious market forces that would work here. If people didn't think it was worth the money, they wouldn't fucking sell every single one of them all over the fucking world. Like, mm-hmm. don't you see that people all do see value in it?
Right. And if They're you don't see value for it, in it, for a then reason. That's all right.
You know, if you don't have to go. Like, no one says, listen, you have to go to this seminar. They're not saying that.
Right.
There's not many people that go get certifications in other fields where they're not even going to use the certification for their occupation, but they get certified anyway.
Oh, yeah. We've got so many
tons
people
of athletes
certified. Yeah. Just because they love it. They just want to know more. And so that's the next
step.
They think it's
worth the money.
I've never had any of our clients that don't even end up being coaches. They just want to go to the level one. We've had plenty of members. They get their level one. None of them came to me afterwards and go, man, I wasted $1,000.
I never heard anybody say
not a single one.
I never heard anybody say
no.
Oh. We're not talking shit. We're just saying the truth. Look for yourself. If you think we're full of shit, just go out to one. You know, do experiment. Would you dare say, we won't just say this, but we should do a maybe competition with somebody. Hey, let's have the loudest shit talker about these seminars. We'll sponsor you. Go. If you love it, give us some money back.
Yeah.
I do appreciate all the really good strength coaches that have recognized that CrossFit is a sport that's growing at a very fast rate, and they realize that a ton of people think it's a lot of fun and it's not going away. And so rather than talking shit about it or giving their opinion on why it's not as good as what they're already doing, they've come into the community and they're trying to make it better from whatever perspective they think making it better means. But like they come into the community already having a good amount of experience in coaching and competing. Someone like Kendrick Ferris comes in the community and doesn't say like all you CrossFitters have bad weightlifting technique and then like making fun of them and
no.
you know, doing CrossFit is never going to make your weightlifting better. He just comes into the community and tries to help.
Right.
Tries to help everyone get better. And everyone really appreciates that. And then everyone gets better because they have a really high level guy who knows what he is doing.
In the world of
comes in and teaches.
Yeah, I actually remember having conversations with some weightlifting coaches early in CrossFit and they were, you know, pretty critical of it. I was like, well, you could stand out here and be critical of it, of something that's going to grow. Whether you're part of it or not, guess what? It's going to happen. Yeah. So you can be on the outside or you can get inside and change it and make it better, because it's going to get better. Do you want to be a part of it or not? And the people who are staying on the outside, well, that's what they are. They're on the outside.
I would say thanks. From my perspective, I've seen Jesse Burdick and Mark Bell do great things on the powerlifting side.
Oh, yeah.
A guy like Kelly bringing in his expertise, because he's worked hard for a long time studying what he knows to be able to say it now.
Yeah. As a physical therapist, he could have come in and said, this is all terrible for you. This is all horrible. And he could have cited a bunch of ways and been very convincing, because he's a smart guy, about why you should never do CrossFit if you wanted to. But instead, he came in and he's making it much better on the mobility, technique side of things, the movement quality and efficiency side of things. Genius.
Even the average coach understands movement at such a higher level.
That's what I really love.
Because of Kelly,
Fuck, and if you take it to the most novel example, in my mind, the most novel example is like what Tony does across it. Defense. So now you got a couple of those people who are like, I'm learning how to move. I'm learning how to move a barbell. Now he's saying, you know how to move a barbell? Watch this. And he shows you how to use your body, because now you get how to use
it. Move your hand into somebody's face.
Now punch his bag. Right. Now you see, like, all the dots from learning to clean a med ball, your grandma learning to clean a med ball right at the beginning, to at the end, she's like throwing a fucking punch by driving off her back foot and shit.
Right.
Now you see how it's all coming together to make better humans.
Definitely.
It's got shit to do with snatch PRs, really, in the end. It's about, you're a better human. Whatever you want to do, fucking rock it.
Yeah, that's actually a good argument for maybe teaching the soccer moms how to do a snatch or a jerk. These are like fundamental movements.
You have to move well to do it.
not to mention that, you know, all the research shows that, like, you're less likely to have a hip fracture at the age of 70 if you're stronger.
Let me be devil's advocate, Mike.
Do you have the ability to produce force faster? Yes or no? And if the answer is yes, your likelihood of a hip fracture from falling
minimized. But my grandma, it's not safe for her to put a barbell over her head, you dummy. What do you say to me? I'm everybody talking shit right now.
Well, I think that you're generalizing all old ladies into the same category.
Okay, now, and so, Doug's not talking to me. I'm playing the role of devil's advocate. Let me be specific. There's some fans who might be like, Doug's talking shit to Chris. I knew they hated each other.
That's right. People think me and Chris
hate
each other.
Doug's making an example. This is a lesson for you, not for me.
Right. So, like I was saying a minute ago, like, You could be CrossFit certified and be a terrible coach or a great coach. It just depends on the person. So there really are bad coaches out there that just put a barbell in the hand of any random old lady and just say, on your first day, snatch. And they could look horrible, round back, no shoulder mobility like that, already previous back injury, already previous shoulder injury. Didn't ask the old lady if she has any pain during the movement. Doesn't ask her anything. And that's a horrible idea for that woman to snatch on her first day like that. There's probably other things you should do first.
Maybe
she never snatches ever.
Yeah.
For some people, but other people, just because they're older doesn't necessarily mean they can't do something like a snatch. Doesn't mean you need to like load them up heavy on the first day. Maybe you start with a PVC, like you probably should start anyone with a PVC. The answer is, no matter who you are, it depends. There's no inherently dangerous movement for, you know, out of like the basic CrossFit movements. There's certainly things that are, you know, if you skydive without a parachute, that's dangerous no matter who you are. But if you are doing snatches, clean squats and whatnot, there's having enough range of motion to do the movement, with doing it with a weight where you can do the whole thing correctly and have good technique throughout the whole movement. And age doesn't really play into it. Yeah. You either can or you can't. And the answer is it depends.
That's such a small aspect of the circumstance. Most people who are 80 don't have great mobility. That's probably true. And maybe they don't need to be doing an overhead squat with their body weight.
It's very likely.
However, there's, you know, all these other variables that are much more applicable to the situation.
I'll tell you what's more likely.
Like, do they have shoulder mobility? Do they have ankle mobility? If you're 80 and you have good shoulder mobility, ankle mobility, and your hips go in the right direction, fuck it. Do snatches, overhead squats.
But I can't tell you.
But the average 80-year-old probably can't do it. So it's not an argument of age. It's an argument of mobility and health.
You know what's happening more.
We'll walk you through the progression, starting at the very low end of scaling and then working you through the whole progression. And if you get to a point in the progression where you can't do it correctly anymore, then that's where you stop in the progression. And maybe the old lady doesn't jump right in and start doing kipping pull-ups. They start them with a very light ring row. And if they can barely do the ring row, they just stay doing ring rows.
But you know what's more
guess
common?
Guess what? We teach all these progressions. Coaches learn these progressions. That's why you're there. That's why you get certified.
People
that's
criticizing
why you learn.
Snatch an old lady. Far more often, I can tell you that you'll go to any gym in this city or any city and see that old lady being put on a fucking leg press at the expense of the lower back. How often is that? That's happening every fucking day. Yeah. You got to calibrate the risk to see it for what it is.
On most leg presses, it's almost impossible to do a full range of motion without rounding your low back to the max extent.
Much I did that when I was younger, and I think back, I'm like, man, I'm just lucky. I'm just lucky I'm not hurt from the stupid bodybuilder program design that I put together based off of magazine information.
Yeah. But all fairness to you, you're doing bodybuilding now. Have you learned?
Don't tell anybody. I'm looking so huge.
Have you announced your stage date yet? When you're gonna when you're gonna pose?
When are we shaving?
Does everybody know about that yet?
April 1st.
April 1st.
We're gonna shave you for that episode
on the show. Mike's gonna be shirtless, greased up, tanned up,
bronzer.
Oh yeah,
you're gonna look so weird, bronze.
We're gonna
with
shave
that
you a monkey tail on your beard.
The monkey tail. I mean, you can't get on do a bodybuilding show without a monkey tail.
Not if you don't want to be taken seriously.
No.
If you want to win.
So the last criticism I think we'd like to maybe address is the high rep stuff. I mean, I remember a long time ago, a lot of weightlifting coaches going, or people who are involved in weightlifting go, you can't do more than 3 snatches at a time. This is ridiculous. I'm like,
there's some rule, but you're breaking it.
But yeah, from their perspective, the goal is to get a bigger 1 rep max on their snatch. Actually, we did a barbell for boobs the other day or yesterday in the gym. Mm. And, you know, one of the, we do like free Saturdays and we had people coming in that weren't part members of the gym. And they go, hey, I heard on the podcast someone say something about like not doing more than 3 reps on snatch or clean and jerk in the Olympic lifts. You know, is that, you know, how true is that? And why are we, if that's true, then why are we doing barbell for boobs where it's grace, 30 clean and jerks for time? And I was like, well, you know, that what you probably heard was the perspective of a weightlifter, somebody who spends their entire life trying to increase the 1 rep max of their snatch and their clean and jerk. In which case, doing 30 snatches at, you know, a third of the weight, or, you know, clean and jerks at a third of their 1 rep max probably is not beneficial to their training. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is true. But that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to improve the speed at which we do 30 clean and jerks.
People don't get
time.
That.
And so, you know, I talked about, you know, limiters there. You know, if your limiter is your core stability, then yeah, you need to be a smart athlete and not still yank that bar off the floor with a round
Sarah
back.
Sarah made an excellent point about this. She's like, well, doing it right is still the best way to do it if you're going to do reps. Just learn to do it right and we'll keep working at it.
You just gotta
identify doesn't matter
that.
How many you do if you're doing it correctly.
It's like people talk shit about Kendrick when he did that 30. He's just fucking around again. Fucking around, did it for 30 reps. And people go, well, look how he's going slow or whatever. Like, well, you can do it whatever pace you need to. He could do that and then just do it a little faster next time and do it in the same quality. He'd be CrossFitting if he wanted to. But he is training for the Olympics. It's still important that he snatches 400 pounds.
Don't worry. He's only one of the strongest drug-free guys in the world.
And if you question that shit, you come over to Memphis and we'll drive down. You can watch this motherfucker train. You can get him whatever test you want. He is legit on any level. And he's proof. If you want to do it safely, just do it better. Move better for more reps. I mean, the reps don't mean you have to start rounding over and getting sloppy.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to discuss how CrossFit, how this podcast has changed our lives and the lives of people who are now running CrossFit gyms and coaches and athletes. Mm. Yep. And we're back. We're going to kick this next segment off with a toast.
Properly.
To all of you. All you fans, anyone who's shared us on Facebook, tweeted to us,
left us
a 5-star iTunes review.
I told just mentioned it to a friend.
We thank you.
Sincerely, we do. I mean,
this cheers. Is CTP, get in there.
With open hearts.
Anyone who's...
Cheers, everyone.
Mm-hmm. To anyone who's put up with the three of us ramble on for hours on end.
How many dick jokes have been told? We have a tally.
And CTP's artsy-fartsy...
Bullshit.
Camera tricks.
He's a genius.
He is a genius, and this would not be possible without him. Cheers to CTP.
Cheersing with the intent that so much awesome stuff is yet to come.
That's a good point. Definitely cheers to CTP. He really is the one that made all this possible. We couldn't do this without him.
His hands are so grizzled and calloused over from holding that heavy camera for 2 years. Every Wednesday.
He actually has developed a neck problem from this position right here.
It's not good for shoulder position during snatches and everything. It's hunched over like artist position. Usually artists don't have good snatches, I guess, for that reason. Like, they're all drawing, painting, obsessing over what they're creating. You gotta open up.
And also thank you to everyone that's given us feedback on the show so we can make it better. Every show we try to make it a little bit better. Absolutely. We tried to address the things that people actually want to hear about. And if we don't get any feedback, then we're kind of just in the dark about everything. So
whether you believe it or not, we try to listen.
We do.
I know a lot of you don't believe that we're listening, but we are doing our
best. The occasional troll will listen. And yeah, okay. Well, maybe there's a point in that. Maybe there's a point. Still fuck you, but still, maybe there's a point.
Yeah. That's true. Every once in a while we get something that stings, but it helps us grow and evolve.
Yeah.
As much as we don't want to hear it.
Hey, love the dick jokes. Maybe one too many.
Gotcha.
Make that one count, though. Lay it out there. In the most dry, silent moment, you're going to hit full speed.
So I want to kind of tell the story a bit of how this all came to be, because I think we just started it, and we probably never went back and revisited exactly where it came from. And if you've been listening from episode one, you may have pieced it all together. That's for sure. And I would not recommend going back to episode one yet again. I'll reinforce that point. We look back at episode one and cringe because the show has definitely gotten better and we've learned.
Episode one isn't even one complete episode. It's like seven chunks, seven different YouTube videos we like pieced together on a playlist.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, I think it would be good to at least go and watch the first 5 minutes of this episode.
It's like when you go back and watch
YouTube.
Old Simpsons and Family Guys or the first episode, you're like, wow, look how better the drawing has gotten.
Oh, yeah.
But you can see the pearls are there. They're just not quite as fancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I want to talk a little bit about how this started and a little bit of the evolution of it. And, Doug and I were working at CrossFit Memphis, Faction Strength and Conditioning. And Doug had been doing some technique WOD videos. He was thinking ahead. And he was going, man, originally Technique WOD was put together for our clients, really, because things were like, hey, I want to like stop explaining everything a million times, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, there's just a good resource so people could, you know, when they go, oh, what's that snatch again? What's a snatch? They can look it up. It's a safe place on YouTube because not every YouTube video, if you Google snatch and just click the first thing that pops up, hopefully it's our video, but if it's not, you know,
that was the big thing. I didn't have a comprehensive resource to give our clients to go to learn exercise technique at the time, especially for Olympic lifts. So I just decided to start recording videos of myself, and they were horrible. Like I was just using my phone, setting it down on a box, like stabilizing it with like a rolled up sock or like a band or something like that, so it would angle back just the right angle.
He wouldn't let me film. He wouldn't let me help.
Yeah, well, a lot of times I was there all by myself.
No, I'm just kidding.
And the video was not great, but the audio was horrible. I was just yelling at my phone from 15 yards away. So
sound a little bit like this. Hey, everybody, here's a snatch.
Pretty much. So when CTP came on the scene, we started doing Barbell Shrugged about 6 or 7 months later. We decided to roll Technique WOD into kind of like the commercial of the podcast, as everyone probably knows. So at least if you watch the videos, you know that. If you're on iTunes, you might miss the Technique WOD. So if you haven't seen those and you only listen to us on iTunes, definitely watch the show every once in a while on YouTube.
It's pretty fair to say that the driving organizational, procedural, and like here's how it can actually work is coming. Like CTP's got a vision that makes it all come together in the finished form. God bless him. And Doug was driving, like, here's a specific reason why this is a very good idea. And what the hell are we doing? We're in a coffee shop fussing at each other about and brainstorming novel ideas and strength conditioning.
Blabbermouthing,
yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, Doug was in the Technique WOD thing, and, you know, it was one of those things where I saw him doing it, but I was like, all right, we'll see what comes of it. I really didn't see, like, it was like something to keep doing, and people that weren't in our gym were definitely watching it, but I didn't really have any idea of how that would work or how it could help anything grow. Like, what are we growing with that?
And while you were confused, I was 100 pounds heavier in the back screaming and being fat and lifting powerlifting stuff and doing whatever the hell it was I was doing.
That's right.
For all of us, especially me, CTP, we're different human beings at the time.
That fall, after he had started Technique WOD, CTP came and started interning at CrossFit Memphis.
CTI.
Yeah, we called him CTI, Chris the intern in the beginning. And he was a student at University of Memphis, exercise science department. He had CrossFitted with us before, but when, you know, he was a student of Doug's. Doug was teaching at the university that summer, and he was a student of Doug's. And I think Doug and I were talking about, you know, should we bring that guy on to intern? Like,
he's
he wants
a lot
to intern.
Of talent. He's got a lot
I'm not
of
sure about him, you know. I definitely said that.
Eating my words now, CTP's an A player for sure, but when CTP was in my class, I announced at the beginning of the course that summer that that we were accepting interns at our facility. And, you know, if anyone's interested, come let me know. And he like rushed up to me like the first opportunity he got. And he's like, I really want to do that. And I was like, oh, I don't make the decisions on that stuff. I need to talk to my business partners. And I fed him a whole load of horse shit so I can come talk to you guys. And then we ended up letting him try it out. And he crushed it right from the beginning. So
yeah, from the first moment.
All right, this Chris was ideal internship because, you know, he's only got to come in 4 hours a day. But he came in early, stayed late, asked for extra stuff to do. You know, if you really want to get into anything, you got to do it like that. If you go and do the minimum, if you walk into a job and you do what the job description says,
you're gonna have a job.
You messed up.
You're gonna have a job that won't grow anymore. Yeah. You'll be doing that forever.
Yeah. So, he did great. He was interning. We got to be, you know, little buddy, started talking in the office a bit. We started hanging out a little bit on the weekends, and then he
let you know, she's like, oh, I was in a band.
Yeah.
You're in a fucking band? Yeah. Here's me playing guitar righteously.
He had a much bit different background than the three of us. We all had very athletic backgrounds. None of us were musicians. None of us were very artsy. And then we have like this guy that comes from this very different background, which has been the biggest plus ever. So he's hanging out. We're hanging out. I'd been listening to Rob Wolf podcast, and it was very content driven. The audio quality was not fantastic. And it was just after 20 episodes, kind of hearing like the same thing. I love Rob Wolf podcast. I still listen to it.
This is a snapshot in time.
It's really great stuff. But I never really occurred to me that, oh, we could do a podcast like Rob Wolf. I think maybe the idea had crossed my mind, but I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. It doesn't seem like very much fun. And then CTP was like this huge fan of Joe Rogan podcast.
We all are, really.
I mean, we are now, but like,
you'd listened to like every single Joe Rogan episode while you were being Pizza Man of the Year. Is that right?
Yeah, CTP was also Papa John's Pizza Man of the Year. What year was that?
2011.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, so he had been listening to Joe Rogan Supreme for a while, and he was like, dude, you got to listen to Joe Rogan. I was like, oh, I'll get to it. And then like 2 weeks go by, he's like, did you listen to that Joe Rogan podcast? I go, oh, yeah, I'll get to it. And then I finally got to where I was like, okay, I'll download the Joe Rogan podcast. And I started listening to it, and I was like, he's not talking about anything. Joe Rogan's talking about UFOs, Bigfoot, and legalizing marijuana. Like, that was the show. That was it. I was like,
I call it fantastic content.
I was like, no, what I'm saying though is like, my only experience with podcasting at that point was Rob Wolf, super content driven, biochemist, you know, nutrition stuff.
It's very fair to say though. CTP was seeing something. He saw, I don't know if you had understood at the time, CTP, but you saw a clear something. Like something was tickling your brain. Like, you need to fucking just do this. No matter what it is, just go and explore. Start digging. You find something poking out of the ground, dig and see what else you find.
But it seemed really,
well, the
like,
thing was, is
at
you
that
guys
point,
all
podcasting
talked,
was boring.
You guys all talked the, you know, training and stuff. I'd hear you guys' conversations. Yeah. Y'all be talking like you are now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, how cool would it be if it was y'all doing this but on a podcast?
I was like,
dude, let's just talk dick jokes and training.
So Joe was like, yeah, I mean, that was a big realization for me. And talking to Chris about it was like, it doesn't have to be all content. It can be fun. And I think once we realized that podcasting,
you said that, when you
fun,
realized that would be the way it had to be if you put all of us in the same room, like it wasn't gonna not be any other way.
Well, that's the thing is like it was, I think listening to Rob Wolf, motivation for starting a podcast, even though I like knew we all had a good knowledge base, I was kind of like, oh, that didn't look fun. But as soon as I saw that Joe Rogan was having a blast on him, so I was like, oh, I want to do that.
Yeah, that really was the ticket to our success, is the fact that it is content, but it's fun at the same time, edutainment, if you will, where it's going back and forth between learning something and kind of listening to us talk about CrossFit, while at the same time, it's not dry and boring and an academic feeling.
I think what the whole key is that if we turn this camera off right now and this computer shuts down and we want to talk about the topic, we're going to talk about it in the same exact fucking way, basically. Not quite as structured, a little longer, a little more loose, maybe a little more goofing. But I don't try to say anything. You don't try to be something. Doug is doing what Doug does, which is take apart an idea and fucking reconstruct his mind and be genius at it. And you see visions, and CTP's creative as fuck, and I tell the world's most average dick jokes on podcasts. I mean, this is exactly what we did in the coffee shop with no one listening. We're just doing this.
Yeah, I think CTP had recommended we do the podcast, and I was it? I was at the Garage Games. Some Garage Games event. And I remember we were, I don't even remember when this was. I don't know if it was like pre-podcast or like we were just starting the podcast. Mm. But I'll give a shout out to Again Faster because I was talking to the owner of Again Faster and one of the camera guys. Were you there with me or was it Rob? It must have been Rob. Mm. And I remember we went and talked to the camera guy and John Gilson from Again Faster. And they make, at the time they were making a lot of videos and a lot of, you know, just really, they're putting out good content as well. And I was like, hey, you know, what would you say like the number one thing is? I remember having this conversation. What's the number one thing you should keep in mind when you're creating these videos? And they were like, audio. You know, yeah. They were like, they told me, it was like, the audio can't suck. The video can be average. The audio can't suck. And that's when like, we went
from. You don't feel like you're talking to a person if you're listening to a scratchy.
I know that.
You don't feel like you're there.
Yeah, and we had the blue mic.
The mic, yeah.
That little mic, and you and I.
Table mic.
It's just one big community mic right in the middle of the
right
table.
Right in the middle of the table. And you and I had been at a coffee shop, and we started trying out this podcast thing. And I remember you and I recording, Chris Moore and I, recording these conversations about training that were like 30, 45 minutes long.
They're good.
At
they
Republic
bad.
Coffee here in Memphis. And then we would give him the CTP and go, what do you think? He would plug him in his phone, listen to him while he's driving around doing the pizza, the Papa John's thing. And then he'd come back and go, that was awesome. And I'm,
go,
like, I'm like,
are you
really?
Fucking kidding me?
I'm like, man.
No way it was awesome.
I was like, I don't know. But we had done quite a few of those. Mm-hmm. We had done some in my garage. We did some in the spare bedroom in my house. We started screwing around. We started having some guests. Some of those, most of those did never got published. But then there was a point where it was like, okay, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And we took $1,000 and we went down to Guitar Center and we said, hey.
$1,000 that, look, it's never going to, if you're starting out with something, anything, you're going to open a CrossFit box, you're going to start a blog, a business, whatever. I guess there's a few things you need to know. I'll just pause because these are the most important lessons I've learned. Is that one, you're going to feel like it's dumb. You're going to feel like you're scared fucking shitless. You're going to feel like it's going to fail and your children will starve in the streets like animals. If you feel that way when you launch your thing, you are fucking 100% normal. You need to realize that if you just go, you don't need a bunch of money. We had $1,000 we didn't have, but we took it and you bought a fucking soundboard.
Yeah,
what was the real risk?
I remember that day you came home with the mics.
What was
like,
the real?
I spent $1,000 on mics. I was like, why?
What the fuck is
what's wrong with you?
We don't have $1,000. $1,000.
Yeah. For some reason, it's really easy for me to spend money.
But you don't sound as stupid. You don't listen. Everybody who's listening,
only
right
if
now,
it's the community's money.
You don't
that's
sound
right.
as
it's
stupid as you
money.
Think.
I'm really gonna spend my own money. Ask Ashley.
You don't sound as stupid
that's
as you
right,
think
community
you do.
Money.
You don't sound as stupid as you think. You gotta believe 100%, even though you're scared shitless, you're okay. And whatever you have on you now, if you got a little money to buy the thing, take the risk. Because on the backside, you'll see the fear was really blown out of proportion. It was in your head. Go
nah,
for it.
I don't know.
Fucking pursue it. Go.
I don't know. That could have been easily wasted if we sucked.
But we didn't.
Or if
we
believed. I mean, I think what made it work was the fact that we sat down and had discussions. Like, if we're gonna spend this $1,000, we're gonna be doing it every week.
It wasn't
reckless,
but we'll
publish,
took a shot.
You know, you can't get on a, you can't do a podcast once every 10 days. You can't do it once every whatever. We made a commitment. We put on the website, hey, we're going
to
publish this every Wednesday.
And we decided
and
to
have
film
the accountability.
It
and we started filming it.
And we didn't break the commitment.
Well, we just went to Guitar Center and said, hey, what do we need for a podcast? I'm like, oh, it's this. Oh, it costs $1,000. Okay, let's do that. He started, yeah, that was actually super
gotta
key.
Gotta give a shout out to James Chaney.
James Chaney.
That's the first like 15 episodes. He's the other guy in the cast there. He, mm-hmm.
If you go back to the beginning,
film.
He helped us launch, man.
Yeah, and then, you know, instead of just being on iTunes, yeah, we're on YouTube and the filming. That's been extremely critical, I think. CTP tells people that all the time.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and they just kind of like, we started filming at CTP's house, and then at, you know, we kind of moved around a bit, and then we started getting good interviews, and it's been an awesome ride.
I think the fun part mm-hmm. is going to people's, like, we've been in Jason Kalipa's garage. We've been in Rich's garage. We've been
you've
in
laid
Christmas
in Christmas Abbott's
house.
Bed. You laid in her bed.
I was in Christmas Abbott's bed.
Maybe that's on the side of the bed she sleeps on. Who knows? Could get much more intimate than that.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, well, I would say
beyond just the start of the podcast, like, without CrossFit, we probably never would have opened a gym on our own. Like, the barrier of entry of opening your own gym with the CrossFit model is very low. You don't need much overhead. You don't need much equipment. It doesn't have to be particularly nice. Like, we opened,
it's not a gamble,
you,
really.
When you open the gym, it was just concrete floors, like loose, like torn up wires hanging from the ceiling. That fucking building was falling down.
It was not code.
And people thought it was awesome.
People that shit was not code. Opposite of code.
People ask me all the time, like, how much does it cost to open a gym? And I tell them $60,000 for, like, the Memphis area. It's like, that'll make things comfortable and ideal.
Yeah, that's more than enough, too.
But we did it with $17,000. And it showed.
But how much would it be to, like, start a Subway franchise?
I don't know.
Or something that doesn't give you...
$500,000?
Yeah.
So on the low end?
I just want to say that because for some people, they hear 17 grand, they would be scared. But you got to realize that it's the lowest entry to this potential thing. To have a facility, to have equipment, to offer a service, it really is a revolution. It's like what 3D printers are. It's like it gives you the confidence and a working...
3D printers. Oh, 3D printers. I don't know.
It's the same
like,
kind of thing.
Like $30 at Walmart.
What used to take a very large commitment and a very real gamble in a situation where you didn't have a huge community of people to say, here's what I've learned from my mistakes. Don't make the same one. There's no reason why... The costs are just enough to where you got to really believe you want to do it to take a shot, but you can do it.
Well, actually, in that regard... Starting a CrossFit gym is easy. I see the biggest challenge for most people is when I try to make it from my corporate job, my 9-to-5, and I'm doing this CrossFit thing on the side in my spare time to make the jump and quit their job. That's harder than scrounging for the money to get the gym started in the first place. Mm-hmm. And we were just lucky enough that we were poor college kids and young enough to where we didn't have wives and kids that depended on us. So it made it super easy. And living in the gym was not hard. I mean, say that a different way.
You didn't know any better.
Living in the gym was hard, but it was doable because I didn't have to have my kids in there with me or anything like that.
Yeah, we lived in the crawl space, basically in like the attic of the gym for a year and a half. You moved out before I did. I moved out after like a year and a half.
I did.
Doug's like,
we're only making like $900 a month at the time.
People don't know this.
We
that's the only reason. By. The only reason I got married is so I could go live in my wife's house. I was like, I gotta get out of this crawl space. I'm gonna get married.
You love your wife too, right?
Yeah, she's a great lady.
Ashley's great. She puts up with your shit.
I guess so.
You are the luckiest man alive to have her put up with your vision. Like she could have said, "This guy is fucking crazy."
There's a lot of women I can get along with for one night. But Ashley is the only girl.
Ashley, I hope the context of that statement makes sense to you.
See, the fact that he says shit like that and she puts up with him means she's the one for you.
Case in point. But she can stay with me forever and it'll be all right.
Any other man who says, there's a lot of women who can put up with me for the evening. But you're the only one who's dumb enough to stick around with me. And go, I love you, baby. That's one woman in the world who has said that to you.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can find one that would be able to put up with me more.
You won't.
Than more for 24 hours, yeah.
You won't. Well, that beard, too.
Yeah,
as crazy as you look right now.
She doesn't even like it if I don't have the beard. So, yeah. We ready to wrap this thing up?
Well, what we want to say a little bit about we're feeling very optimistic about 2014, aren't we? I mean, we're about to fucking just uncork this thing even bigger.
I was gonna wrap it up talking about the past, but we
fuck the past.
We have not talked about the future.
That's very true. We got a lot of trips coming up.
Yeah. By the time you hear this, we will just come back from Wodapalooza in Miami, which will be an epic trip.
Cuban coffee, press sandwiches, good-looking people, and neon shit on the beach with abs and sexy buttockses and talks and education and fucking inspiration and big-time visions and new partnerships. Fucking A. 2014, man. Yeah, so such a good year.
We're basically going down to Wodapalooza, like the best competition on the East Coast, to hang out.
Great warm climate.
Guido Trinidad was like kind enough to let us put on all the conference talks, so we got to organize the speakers that we want to hear from.
Mm-hmm. Sky's the limit, man.
Yeah, I mean, we got Dave Asprey coming out, and we have guys like Zach Evanesh and Travis Mash and Justin Thacker. We have like all these really cool guys.
People who are just experts at what they do, and they're joining this thing.
Lucky enough that we get to hang out with these people.
That's what this CrossFit movement is. It's all these people who are just have such beautiful, varied backgrounds and highest, like Dave is the first guy to sell shit on the internet by his story, and Travis Wardark, a powerlifter. Zach's been in this game of strength guru-ness, like let me push a unique view of strength for years and years and years for most people. I mean, we're bringing in all these great players and we're going to fucking blow it up. And these people listening to this show are going to benefit. They're the first ones to benefit.
That's just January 2014.
That's just fucking the first month of this year.
So look forward to things happening in 2014. It's going to be awesome. Take our word for it. Big plans in the works. Cheers.
One more cheers. Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
We pour fresh champagne and say, fuck, man, it's going to be good times.
One more big thanks to CTP. Thanks,
CTP,
brother.
Cheers to you, friend.
Couldn't have been done without him.
That's right.
You look damn good in that jacket, buddy. And the swoop, I love.